Welcome to the 10th episode of the monthly data modeling podcast produced by Mark Morgan for DjangoModeling.com. This monthly podcast discusses many different aspects of data modeling, the principles and the practice, based on what I have learned through years of experience, how to make the right choices consistently. In an earlier series of newsletters, we looked at input files for EPANET, a public domain water supply network modeling tool. To minimize the modeling required, we took as an example the simplest water supply network that I could think of, Hezekiah's Tunnel in Jerusalem, and considered the tables we would need to store the information required in an EPANET input file for this network. If you look at the newsletters from numbers 13 to 21 on the Django Modeling website, you'll see more details of this. But now, instead of defining standalone tables, we're defining Django models. So let's first quote the table which we defined, and then we'll show the equivalent Django model. In an attempt to make the Django model match the table design intent and definitions, we'll use character ID fields rather than numbers. These fields will contain the user-assigned EPANET IDs, which are normally more like names, but they do have to be unique in their class or their set of classes. To see the full details that we're working with, have a look at the blog posts titled EPANET Input Files in Django, Part 1 and also Part 2. They were in newsletters numbers 25 and 26. If you search on DjangoModeling.com for the hash or pound sign followed directly by the number 25 or 26, you will be able to find the posts easily. You may wish to pause the podcast now so that you can find them and then follow along with both forms. We want to add a table called Network that contains an ID field and a file name. To define the class in Django, we're adding it to the POTS application, and that's really just to make it all easier so that we don't have to create more applications. And we can use a Django auto field for our network ID. All we need to do is specify that the field is a primary key using primary underscore key equals true. So when we run make migrations and then the migrate command for the POTS app, Django will create a table in the SQLite database called POTS underscore network, with the network ID column being an auto-allocated primary key. The table creation command is really quite simple, but you'll have to look at it online if you want to see it. We also want to create a table called network underscore title, which allows us to store several lines of title for our network. To replicate this table, we create a Django class with a foreign key to the network class, and a line number field and a title field. This model class is a little different because it does not include a primary key, but Django requires one field to be a single column primary key. So, since we have not specified one, Django will create a column for itself, an automatically allocated unique ID. Now, for our use, the ID that it generates will have no practical meaning. The first time I ever created a serious Django model, I was caught in a minor way by the automatic naming of foreign key columns. Personally, I like to name foreign key columns so that they have ID at the end or underscore ID. This means that the names of columns will remind me when unique IDs are being stored in a column. Django has the same sort of idea, and so foreign key columns are given the name of the field with underscore ID appended to the end automatically. Thus, by default, our network ID field would be stored in a column called network ID underscore ID. Fortunately, we can avoid the double suffix by specifying the column name using the db underscore column argument of the foreign key field. In our original example, we did not have a primary key at all in this table, because the data we are planning to store is already checked before it is passed to us. If we were creating a serious network design or analysis tool, what we would really want would be to have network ID and line number as a two-column primary key, but Django does not support this at the moment. What we would have to do instead would be to specify in the metadata options that these two columns are unique together. When we add that constraint, Django creates a unique index. Now our reservoir table comes next, and this table highlights a change that we will have to make in a few different tables. We've changed the name of one field from ID to name, and this is done because Django does not always cope very well with columns called ID that are not unique ID columns, particularly if you actually create the columns and then try to fix the problem using Django migrations. It is quite simple to make this work by defining a primary key column and specifying its name, but if you want to do so, make sure you do it properly right from the start. Our so-called key is only unique within a project, not within the entire table, so using a different column name is more in step with Django's design philosophy. I chose to call the column name rather than ID in all of the tables that contain user-specified keys, because these can only be guaranteed to be unique within each network. In the same way, the pattern ID column name has been changed to pattern name to make it clear that it is not a true foreign key column, but instead stores the user-specified ID, the name, of the pattern. From this class definition, Django gives us an ID column which has no meaning for us again, but it will not cause any trouble either. If you like completeness, our true uniqueness constraint on this table would be that the network ID and name columns are unique together across all of the node tables, that is, reservoirs, junctions, and tanks. However, since our data has been checked before we receive it, we do not need to concern ourselves with such completeness. It is probably worth pointing out here that we could also specify the table name if we wanted to, using the meta option db_table. But since we have to make other changes to our table definition anyway, it's not really worthwhile. In the junction and pipe tables, we've had to make the same changes, the name change from the ID to the name column. When we model the option and time tables, they don't require any significant changes from our definitions that we made when we were not using Django. Okay, well, we have done quite a bit of just plodding through some rather mechanical porting of tables to Django. Next week, we start to look at some of the real advantages of doing this work in Django. And so we've come to the end of our 10th episode of the Data Modeling Podcast. We hope that you enjoyed it. The next episode was planned for the first Monday of September, but obviously it wasn't finished by then. Still, we are working to catch up on our series, and in the next podcast we hope to look at some of the real advantages of doing this work in Django. In the meantime, if you want to enjoy reading similar information, why not visit the DjangoModeling.com blog at DjangoModeling.com/blog. Until next time then, that's it from Mark Morgan for DjangoModeling.com.